and it has some good stuff in it, and I want to try to bring that out. I struggled with what I wanted to talk about today, but I think I finally come to the point of where I need to be, so bear with me if I'm a little rougher than normal. But we're going to try to bring out some things here that I believe the Lord wants us to understand. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 to 9, and this is Jesus speaking. And he speaks in parables sometimes, and the reason he did that, it was, here's a way to put it, hidden messages, hidden words that he didn't want everyone to understand. And God sometimes would speak in a parable so that the religious leaders of that day, who thought they knew God but didn't know God, he would speak in these parables just to confound them. But then he would take time out after he'd speak a parable, and he would work with his disciples, and he would teach them what was being taught. Now, if it gets cold in here, JD, please turn that air off. And I don't want people to get uncomfortable in that way anyways. Amen. I want you to get uncomfortable if it's conviction, but I don't want you to get uncomfortable because it's cold in here. Here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 to 9, and Jesus is speaking, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where there had not been much earth. Forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness or depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell among good ground and brought forth fruit. Could you turn these monitors down, please? Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Turn them back up a little bit, please. Who hath ears to hear, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now Jesus spoke this parable, and the disciples didn't understand what he was trying to convey to them. So later on in this chapter, on down, he begins to break it down for them. Did you know that's what teaching is all about? That's what, when you come to church, that's one of the goals of the pastor, is to break the word down in bite sizes. Who knows if you ever try to eat something and you take too big of a bite, you choke on it. And the role that Jesus was taking with the disciples was that of a teacher, an instructor. He was taking it down to where they live, break it down in bite sizes so it made sense to them. And we're going to do that today. He went, go down to verse 18 through 19. If we can understand these principles, we can allow God's word, say that with me, God's word, to produce fruit in our lives. How many believes that the Lord wants us to be fruitful? He does not want you to be a tree that doesn't bear any fruit. Because actually, if you're a tree that's not bearing fruit, you're really not one of His. Amen. God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be productive. God, from the beginning of time, told man, be fruitful, multiply. God always intended for man to be productive. And he wants us to be productive. Here in Matthew 13, verse 18 through 19, he begins to break it down for them. And I believe if we can get a hold of this, that some lights can go on in our lives. How many knows what I'm talking about when I say light bulbs going in your mind? It means that all of a sudden, things that you really didn't grasp, you're beginning to grasp. Christianity is about understanding what God wants from us and us cooperating with Him. So Jesus begins to break this parable down for them because they don't have a clue what he's talking about. But I believe that we can produce fruit in our lives if we can fully understand this one parable. I believe that the fruit we can produce will be healing in our body. How many needs healing in your body? I believe that it'll bring about deliverance in our lives. People need deliverance from a lot of things. People are in bondage in the church. God's children. We're the children of Israel. God's people in Egypt. Everybody says, is that a trick question, Pastor? They were still God's people, even though they were in bondage. And I believe that God if we can understand this parable, we can see how to get out of bondage. We can begin to let this thing get productive in our life. How many about finances in your life? Did you know there's a world's way of doing things and there's a God's way of doing things? And the world's way, you can be prosperous in the world's way, but it'll never lead to the blessings that God intends for you to have. I believe that spiritual growth and relationships can be enhanced if we begin to understand how God works. And in these parables, God begins to show us how the kingdom of God operates. There are laws, fixed laws, or principles in God's Word that God's Word works that way every single time. If it's not working in your life, it's because of one of these reasons that we're going to talk about today. So in Matthew chapter 13, verse 18 through 19, he said, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone that heareth the word of the kingdom," I want you to understand something. There are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of heaven, and there's the kingdom of God on earth. You remember the prayer where Jesus said, pray this way, pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God's reign, or his way of doing things, his dominion is in the earth. And the only way it can be in your life, his dominion, is if we yield to that. So he says, "Hear ye the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom," if you have your Bibles, just grab it and hold it like that. That's the word of the kingdom right there. That is the word of the kingdom. "Hear the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not. Then cometh the wicked one." Say it out loud with me so that I know that everybody understands who he's talking about here. Who is the wicked one? Not your wife. Not your husband. And not your neighbor. And not your church member. Hello. That's not who he's talking about. In the previous one, he said the fowls came and devoured them up. When I was a young person, I used to work on a farm with my grandpa. We planted corn, and I hated crows. And I can relate to this because we would plant the corn, and they would sit out there. One would be on the perch watching, and they would, as soon as you get to the other end of the field, man, they'd run over and start picking the seed right out. Now, they developed a seed that was poisonous to birds, but not to humans. And that kept them from, after they seen two or three of their buddies croak, they decided that's not a good idea. But in this case, he's talking about Satan, the wicked one. He says, when we don't understand the word of the kingdom, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away, or steals it away, that which was sown in his heart. In one other version of this, in one of the other books, I believe it's Luke, he says, immediately the devil comes. There have been people sitting in church services, and a good word to come forth, and they'll sit here and amen the whole service. Before they get to the back door, it's gone. What happened? The enemy came and stole it, and he said the reason he stole it, they did not understand it. They didn't understand it. As a pastor, you deal with folks all the time, and sometimes I get frustrated. I'm human. I see some people experience the same problem over and over and over and over, and you tell them what God's promises and his word tells you to tell them about that problem. How many believe this morning, and you can raise your hand with me, that God has solutions to our problems? If we didn't believe that, I don't think we would be here. Now listen, even though we don't understand it, that does not make us not a child of God. What it makes us is unfruitful, because if you don't have any seed, you're not going to get a harvest. Right? If nothing's planted, nothing grows. Pretty simple, huh? So when we don't understand something, the devil comes and he takes it, what has been sown in our heart. This word heart, I looked it up this morning, is not your chest, that thing that's thumping in your chest. God is concerned about your heart, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about your mind. The word heart in the New Testament and Old Testament, in certain places, is referring to your mind. And sometimes it's referring to your spirit, the heart of man or the spirit of man. But in this instance, he's talking about your mind. How many understand? We understand with our intellect. Some of them nod at me. We understand with our minds. And God wants us to understand his word. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Let me break that down. What is the seed? Say it out loud. You, Pastor, you make us say a lot of things. Here's the reason I was taught this way. Here's the reason I do this. Because if you participate, it's more apt to get in you. And if it gets in you, then it's going to produce some fruit. If you just listen and you're half listening, how many knows you can half listen? Come on, men. How many knows you can half listen? In church services, sometimes people are half listening. And that's why I'll say certain phrases or do certain things to get people's attention to try to draw them back. They're thinking about their motorbike ride they're going to have this afternoon. They're thinking about food that they're going to have this afternoon. They're thinking about some grass they got to mow this afternoon. And their mind drifts. And during the service, when that happens, is immediately you're not going to understand it. The word never even got sown. And if it did get sown because you wasn't really listening, that's why Jesus says, him that hath ears, let him hear. Well, it's obvious we all got ears in here. But he says, those that are really tuned in and paying attention. So if we don't understand, the seed that is sown in our heart is taken away. Now, what does he mean by understand? I know I'm beating this up a little bit, but we need to really get this in our understanding. If we don't comprehend, how many's ever told their child, I want you to go do this, this, and this, and you thought you were very specific. In Missouri, they say Pacific. It's specific. Is it Alabama? Okay, you guys corrupted me when I came up here. I had good English till I came to Missouri. And then I heard all these words that I'd never heard before. I thought y'all was a good word, and it's you-ins and all these crazy words you guys use. But anyways, if they don't comprehend, then they're more likely not to follow your directions. I've told my son, and he's sitting in here, I'm not going to point him out, to do certain things. And then when I come home and I find out that he did it, but it wasn't really what I wanted, what I thought I told him. And the reason is there's a communication gap there. He didn't comprehend what I was trying to say to him. Doesn't make him bad. It just means that we wasn't communicating. And sometimes when the word of God is being communicated, we're not getting it. We're not comprehending it. And see, when we don't comprehend it, it does us no good. We go about doing something, but how many knows if you do something wrong, it's still not right? You can have the most sincere heart and still be doing the wrong thing. Churches are full of them. Churches are full of them. Sometimes people are sincere as can be. There was a story. Now, this is kind of taking a little sidetrack here, but of a man. There was a lady that got on a train in the middle of the winter. This is back in the days when trains were popular. And she asked the conductor, let me know when we get to certain station so I can get out, because it stops so many stops along the way, kind of like Amtrak does. And this man thought he knew the place she wanted out at. He let her out at that place. 2-3 hours later, the conductor comes back and asks, where's the lady? We're at the stop. And the man goes, I told her to get out back there. And he was sincere. He thought he was sincerely right. Now, this is a true story. And it was the middle of wintertime. She had a baby. And the station was closed. And when they took the train and backed it up 2-3 hours later, she was froze to death. That's drastic. But the point is that the guy was sincere. He's just sincerely wrong. And it cost somebody their life. So sincerity is not it. Understanding is it. Jesus wants us to be a people of understanding. And if we don't comprehend the word, then we're not going to produce any fruit in our lives. He says, you got to first off understand that the word is a seed. How many knows what a seed does? It has DNA in it, and it produces after its own kind. And it has to be planted if it's going to produce. So if we don't understand, then it's lack of comprehension, then it does us no good. Now, he says if you don't understand it, the devil's going to come, and he's going to take it, and he's going to steal it from you, and now that can't produce any fruit in your life. Did you realize that Jesus spent a great deal of his time teaching people so that they would understand? He wanted the people to understand. He wanted people to get it. And some spiritual things, I will grant you this, some spiritual things don't come easy. Let me tell you about what the world of education says. I was talking to a lady here in the church the other night, and she says, it takes me about 6 times to get it, Pastor. I said, you're exceptional. Because the world of education says it takes 21 times for someone to really grasp something. And some of us, I'm going to use me so you won't get offended this morning, it takes longer than 21 times, maybe 50 times, before you really get a hold of something. My old pastor used to say, and he believed this thing about 21 times, and he would preach the same message for 21 weeks in a row. I'm not kidding. He would add something to it every week, but you would get a redeal of what we had the week before. It was good, not bad, I'm not saying, but he wanted you to get it. So the average person, it takes them at least a half a dozen times, if they're exceptional, as much as 21 times. So it don't always come easy. You know what Romans 10:17 says? It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. You don't hear it one time and get it. It's obvious because the people who are hearing some of the solutions that God has given them aren't either they're not hearing it, or they didn't understand it, or they just don't think it's the right thing to do. I think it's we're not getting it. Because if we know the solution, why would we continue to do the wrong thing? So it takes some time for us to get some things. But God wants us to understand. If you don't understand the word, it has no value to you, and you cannot put it into practice. Satan knows that if you begin to understand the word, there's nothing he can do to stop it. And here's the rest of this parable. Here's where the understanding has to come in also. Satan knows, if you understand it, that he can't stop God's word from producing because it has life within itself. I think Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is living and active and operative, and it has life within itself to produce after its own kind. And if we can just understand that and let it be sown in our life, then we can realize that God's word will produce if we'll give it a place to produce. And this spells defeat for the enemy. Now look at verse 20 and 21. He says, but he that receiveth the seed in a stony place. We've always taken this and said, this is bad Christians. This is people that's not Christians that he's talking about. Not necessarily. You can say this has dual application, but not necessarily. He says, this is he who receives seed in the stony place is the same that hears the word and on with joy receives it. Wait a minute. If that person wasn't a Christian, he wouldn't have never heard the word. This person's in a setting where they're hearing the word. Is that right? The Bible said they received it with joy. And then he that hath no root in himself, but endureth would be a better word, for a while, tribulations and persecutions arise because of the word, and by he is offended. Let me break down that one. The word tribulation here carries several meanings. One is pressure, trouble, and anguish. How many is feeling pressure in our economy today? In our society today? There is pressure, more pressure on our youth than I thought. I grew up in a bad time. But there's more pressure on our youth today than there ever was. There are kids graduating from college and there's nothing out there for them. It is a pressureful time. I mean, we're in the pressure cooker. What does this word pressure mean? It means challenging times. It means that there's a lot going on in our world that is coming in from every side. You know what pressure is? It's measured by going outward. If you measure pressure going outward like you would water or air, it's pressing from the inside out. If you're measuring pressure from external, then you're measuring compression, which is pressure from the outside in. So we are getting pressure from the inside out as well as the outside in. What kind of pressure comes from the inside? Cares, worries. It says this word that tribulations, and it talks about this word tribulation means pressure, trouble, and anguish. It means on the outside, we're being challenged. On the inside, we're being challenged. How many can identify with that? How many can identify with, in your mind, sometimes there's cares and there's pressures and all of these things? Now look, in this parable, he says, these are the things that will cause the word not to be productive in your life. Has it ever seemed like, in your life, everything that could go wrong did go wrong? I went through a period of time there when everything that I owned seemed like broke down. I'd no more get one thing fixed and two things was waiting on me. That's pressure. Especially when you're counting your beans and you got more going out than you got in your hand. That's pressure. These are the kind of things that will cause you to be pulled away from God's promises and His Word. These are the kind of things that will cause you to take your focus off of God's promises. And I want you to understand something here. Every one of these cases in this parable, it's after one thing. Have you figured out what it's after yet? It's after the Word. The enemy, if he can't steal it with lack of understanding and come along and take it right away, then he applies pressure. Now, we have a certain amount of pressure because we live in this life. A sin-cursed world, there's going to be pressure. No way around it. People are going to do things and economies are going to happen. You know what's wrong with the economy? Greed. Greed put the economy, it's a spiritual matter, put the economy in the situation it's in right now. And the enemy will use anything he can to try to steal God's word from your life. Look what he says. He says, this is a person who's in stony ground. His mind is a place that is full of stones. Is the same as he that hears the word and receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but he endureth for a while, and then tribulations and persecutions arises. I want you to see that part right here. Why does it arise? What's the next statement? Because of the word. It arises because of the word. The devil's not personally totally against you. He's against God's word. And he don't want God's word to produce in your life. Why? Because if God's word produces in your life, you have a testimony. You think, well, the devil's just seeking me out. No, he don't have any favorites. He's an equal opportunity kind of guy. He goes after any and everybody, especially those who are trying to let the word of God take root in their lives. Because he don't want any fruit in your life. Because he can't take people to hell if you're a good testimony and you're getting people won to Jesus because of the good things that God is doing in and through your life. Because of the word. Not because you're so good looking or so ugly. Now listen, the rest of the part, because I just made some of you mad. It wouldn't make you mad if you wasn't ugly. That was bad to the bone. I just lost half of you. No, listen. Because of the word, and by he is offended. The old saying is, somebody just muted me. The old saying is, A dog don't bark. If you throw a rock in a crowd of dogs, the one that gets hit is the one that yelps. Is that right? I lost you, I know. Let's get back to what we were talking. Father, forgive me for being whatever it was. Because of the word, and he is offended. Now, this word offended means caused to stumble. So that tells you that that person is a believer. This is not talking about a non-believer. It's talking about a believer. You got to understand that. This is a cycle that all of us go through. And clear your mind so you can hear the rest of this. You know that delete button? Delete it. Amen. So if he can't get you one way, he's coming at you another way. And then he says it's because of the pressure of this life, because of how many's ever seen people come to church, they're on fire for God, and soon as life starts to get tough, you know, when you first get born again, it seems like every prayer that you pray, just God seems to answer. Well, it's just like a child, you know, every time when they're babies, you feed them every time they cry. But as they grow, you begin to make them wait till dinner time. No candy, you wait till dinner time. As we grow, God begins to expect us to mature and begin to walk the word out. And any good father, I remember when I took the training wheels off my sons, and everyone does it at different ages, by the way. It's the same way with Christians. That's why we don't get frustrated with one another, because we grow at different levels, we understand at different levels, and we mature at different levels. There are people that have been going to church 25 years that aren't as mature as people that's been going 5. All right. And they get offended. This word offended means they stumble. They stumble. They begin to falter in their relationship with the Lord. They get angry with God because things ain't going right. They get angry with God because of the pressure and the cares, and they're like, God, you don't care, so I'm not going to serve you. Everybody's looking at me real quiet because maybe you've had that thought. Maybe you've said that. But God's saying it equates to there's still issues in your heart, your mind. There's some stones in there. That's got to be dealt with. There's good news. All of these soils can be worked. Some of you farmed in here. JD's run cattle and his wife done gardening. And some of you's had farms and things. And you know what I'm talking about. Some of the ground around here's got a lot of rock in it. And you have to work that rock out in order to make it productive ground. Persecution, it says, because of persecution. Now, in America, we really don't experience the kind of persecution that they do overseas. I mean, I'm talking about death threats and things like that. We get called names, holy roller, this, that, and another, and big deal. You know what? That don't bother me. But we get it on the job, and sometimes people fall away because of persecution. Years ago, there was a guy that came into my office, and I was reading the Bible, and he told me, he says, you still believe in that? And I won't say what he said, but stuff. And I said, sir, I was real kind to him. The same door you come in, you can go out. And then later on, the Lord used me to pray for his daughter to bring healing into their family. If I would have got offended because someone said something or thought something, or I wouldn't be up here today. You wouldn't be here today. You're going to get persecuted. Jesus said, if they hate me, they'll probably hate you. He said, if they did dirty, dastardly things to me, they're going to do it to you. So he says, you don't need to let these tribulations, this persecution and these pressures and all of these things cause you to back off from the promises of God. That word offended means to stumble or give up. Many people start out good, and then when the pressure gets on, they just wither. And God's saying there's stones that you need to deal with. Matthew 13:23. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that receiveth the heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, I want you to see this. He says, becometh unfruitful. Understand this. A non-believer is already unfruitful, right? As far as God is concerned. He says, becometh unfruitful. So that says something to us right there, that this person was fruitful at one time. But he said something happened. He said he received the seed, and he's like the ones that received it in the thorns. He heard the word, but the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. So they had to be fruitful once. He began to let other things come in. This word carry, cares, means distractions. People let so many distractions come into their Christian walk. Good things. It's not always bad. Remember the Mary Martha story? It was a good thing that she was about serving. People were hungry. That's not bad. But sometimes there's better things. And sometimes we allow other things to enter in, and we get distracted. And we can, listen to me very carefully, even in the church world today, if you're not careful, because we preach a prosperity message, how many believes that God wants us to be blessed? But not to the point that we forget God. Deuteronomy gives us a great warning, says, when God has prospered you and gave you goodly houses, goodly land, and all these good things, he says, don't forget me. And this is what happens. We get in church and we ain't got nothing. And God begins to straighten our lives out, and we begin to prosper and get blessed in the kingdom. And all of a sudden, when things start going really good in our life, we begin to forget about God. And when we do that, we allow the enemy to come in, and we become unfruitful. It can be cares, which are distractions of this world, or it can be deceitfulness of riches. Did you know people who are constantly seeking after wealth will have many trials, tribulations, tests, and will have many hurts? Let God bless you. Yes, you got to participate, but don't make money your object. Life is more. Jesus said life is more than things. See, when you're always seeking after things, your priorities are mixed up. I live in a nice home. Not ashamed of it. Worked hard to get it. God bless me. But if I lost it tomorrow, I'd still love God like I do today. It's not my priority. I have given up. And I'm not looking for a pat on the back, but I'm telling you, I have had to make myself stay focused and said, my bank account's empty because I've helped so many people. God's going to take care of me. I believe that. I've been very productive. God has always bore fruit in my life. I don't allow the deceitfulness of riches. If you're not careful, I was watching a show yesterday, just flipping through the channel, on how to sell real estate and make money and bukus of it. How many knows there's a thing that clicks on side of you that goes, man, I'd sure like to have that home with that swimming pool, with that car he's standing in front of. But not at the cost of losing my salvation. If you do it God's way, it's blessed, and it'll continue to stay in your life. If you go after riches and stuff, you'll lose it. So we need to keep our priorities right. These things are only temporary. Things don't bring you joy. You know, there was a point in my life when, and I was still serving God, I bought a farm, and I thought when I bought that farm, it would not be a distraction to me in my life with God. Oh, my God, was I wrong. I did not have time for nothing. I couldn't. If you took a day off, it's because you purposed to take a day off, and it just put you another week behind. You couldn't stay up with everything that needed to be done. And it was all consuming. And it got to the point where when it come time to read the word at night, I was too tired to read the word. When it come time to pray, all I could do is I lay my head to rest. My priorities got all mixed up. took me 3 years. After 3 years, my bank account was empty, my back was sore, and the farm was beautiful, but I hated it. Because I seen what it was doing, it was taking me away from where the Lord really wanted me to be. There's a lot of things we can be about, and there's a lot of things that can keep us busy, but not everything is productive far as God is concerned. Do you know God does not mind us having things? He just doesn't want things to have us. Did you know God does not want you poor? Because he said he come to preach the good news to the poor. What's good news to somebody that's impoverished? That it can be different. You can be blessed. Luke 12:31-32 says, but rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, it's a lot nicer when God adds them to you, because you don't have to strive and struggle and scratch and claw. He said, fear not, my little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then the sister scripture to that says in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added unto you. This means I put my priorities in order. And I want you to understand something. God's not poor. Heaven's got pearly gates. Heaven's got gold streets. God, the Bible says he owns the earth and the fullness thereof, all the cattle on all the hills and everything that's within and everything that's under it. The Arabs don't own the oil. God owns it. He's given man a lease, and we're just stripping it of all its riches. God owns it. God owns the very air that we breathe. Never thought of that, did you? God owns everything. Then look at the last scripture we'll look at, Matthew 13:23. But he that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. Well, Pastor, what do I have to be good ground? Well, you've heard what some of the bad ground is. Good ground is he that heareth it and understands it. You know, it may take in your life a little clearing to get to be good ground. This has nothing to do with your salvation. It has everything to do with you being productive and fruitful in your Christian life. You may have to go in there and dig some stones up in your mind and get them out so that God's seed can produce in your life. You may have to go in there with a brush hog and brush hog these thorns. I bought that farm. One part of the farm hadn't been brush hogged in 12 years. It had thorn trees that had take root and grown up. I had 8 flats before I got an acre brush hogged. I had to go buy special brush-in tires that were 8-ply or 12-ply so that the thorns wouldn't penetrate it, because I couldn't keep from getting a flat. You may have to go in there and root out some stuff. But how bad do you want God's word to work in your life? Or do you even want it to work in your life? You know, God's way is the best way. And it's the way that brings blessings, that adds no sorrow thereunto. Did you know there's a lot of routes to getting to where you want to get, but they'll never end up being a blessed way because they're not God's way. That's why it's important. You may have to go in there and do some clearing, some plowing, and break up some fallow ground. How do I let my heart be good ground? I get all the things out. I get the pride out. I get the offenses out. I don't let the cares of this life and the distractions of this life and the persecutions steer me away from serving God with my whole heart. And then my heart becomes good ground. I let God's word be planted in my life, and he says it'll bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Did you know even bad ground bears some fruit? I planted some tomato plants in a potting soil, and I didn't have time because we were doing this church project over here to do it in a regular area we do it. And it bore some fruit, but not nothing like the good ground that I usually plant it in does. And I mean, I watered that every day, because if you didn't, it would begin to wither. And I got tomatoes about that big around, and I got a few of them. I bore 30, let's say 30. But if I would have tended the soil and put it in where I normally did, fertilized it and took good care of it, it would have yielded 100%. You are the deciding factor how much of the blessings of God are in your life. God gives it to us, and He gives us the seed, but it's up to you what you do with it. Your heart and how the condition of it matters whether or not God's word will take root and produce in your life. If you stay with God long enough and don't give up, you'll begin to produce harvest in your life. And whatever area that you're needing it in, I believe that this encompasses every aspect of our lives. God's word, His seed, can produce in our lives. I want you to stand your feet with me this morning. Nina, come up. I want you to make a couple of declarations with me before we close today. One is this. I want you to say out of your own mouth, I am a person of understanding. I am good ground. God's word produces in my heart. 30, 60, and 100-fold. I'm going to keep my heart and mind set on His word. And it's going to bring forth fruit. I'm not going to allow the blessings and the distractions to take me away from God. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just bless this people today. I want you to bow your heads with me. Father, I preached your word, and I expect fruit, Lord. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. If you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, this is how you become ground that God can plant in to start with. He says He'll take out of you a stony heart and put a heart of flesh in you. That means a soft heart, a pliable heart, a heart that's good ground. If you just slip your hand up today, you can know Jesus. I want to pray with you. If that's you, just raise your hand. All of us came this way. Anybody at all? If you got your hand up, please raise it high so I can see it. I want to pray for you. I see that hand. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody, I see that hand back there. Can I ask you to take one more bold step? You've raised your hand. The enemy don't like it. He never likes it when we give our lives to Jesus. But could I get you to step out and come up front here? Let me pray with you. Thank you. And while they're coming, if there's anybody else here that you need healing for your body, or you need God to produce some real fruit in your life, and you're willing to do whatever it takes to get that heart right so that God can produce that, I want to pray with you. Amen.